Anyone who has ever experienced a mental health challenge knows all too well just how dark and how lonely a journey that can be. But you know, just like any journey, the road can get you to a better place. And yes, along the way, inevitably, you will hit the occasional bump in the road. Hi, I'm John Milkey, the Milkman, and welcome to Bumps in the Road, a podcast I'm doing from inside a 28-foot RV that was gifted to me by my social media followers and my radio audience, each of whom believed in this project from day one. So, I'm traveling to community events and live and location broadcasts across Canada, and soon, the USA. So keep listening for details on where we're headed next. And if we're coming your way, I'd love to invite you into the BTRV for mental health so we can hear about your journey and how you're still going strong, even after hitting a few of those bumps in the road. So come on in. Let's have a conversation. So the BTRV for mental health is in my driveway. It is winterized. It has been put away for the season, but that doesn't mean the conversations have ended. The conversations absolutely continue. Welcome to another edition of Bumps in the Road. I'm traveling around and talking to people about, well, their adventures, their bumps in the road with mental health. I want to introduce you to Rodney and Oriana. Good friends of mine. Oriana and I met years ago. You're both realtors, but Oriana is a realtor, and you'd hired me to do some headshots for you, but also some house interiors too.
Yeah, it was. And we did a couple times we did headshots and a couple properties. And then we actually just ended up talking more than we did taking pictures.
Yeah, and we very quickly realized that we had this mental health matter in common. And I guess this is kind of the starting point of this, because, you know, as you're working, you know, we don't get a chance to talk other than bits and pieces. Cause you know, if I'm doing a headshot with you, turn left, turn right, I got to adjust my lighting.
Smile. Don't move your lips.
So, yeah. I don't really know a lot of your story. Mm-hmm. And again, our most recent mental health event that we did together, a bike ride mm-hmm. for the Royal, I said to you, I still don't know a lot of your story. And you turned your arm over and mm-hmm. you showed me some scars and you said, that's pretty much my story.
Yeah.
So let's start there.
Okay. I started to become vocal about mental health. I attempted suicide at 15.
Wow.
I was what they call a troubled teen, right? There's the whole, they're hormonal, they're attention seeking, you know, they're misbehaving, but there should be or ought to be a way to identify whether there's a mental health issue there, right? And it's not an attention seeking thing. And so anyway, there was the attempted suicide, and I was told by many people that I'm selfish because of that. A long time ago, and even now, a lot of people still see that as a very selfish thing to do.
Yes.
And in one sense it is, because it is about me and my pain and what I'm going through and how much I can no longer bear that. But so since then, I started to get, I guess, a bit angry and to defend myself in that respect.
Still in high school?
High school, I ended up moving, switching towns and stuff. I left home really young, and moved around, teen mom, the whole nine, and, you know, misdiagnosis after misdiagnosis. It became something that I became very passionate about, and I learned to be comfortable with the uncomfortable of talking about it.
I like that.
Because people, you can say, well, you know, oh, I have depression or anxiety, and right away, sometimes you can see the eyes, sometimes you can see the step back.
Yeah.
And then you mention you take medication. Well, you must be loopy. You must be right off
your
rocker.
You're crazy. Yeah.
You're not stable.
No, you're crazy.
You're crazy.
You're out of control.
Right?
Yeah.
You're a loony bin's over there, right? And so it's not talked about enough. It's not normalized enough. And I want people to be able to speak more openly about it and more comfortably about it.
The difference, though, I think you have to agree, between high school and the conversations you were hoping and trying and desperately seeking to have then, the infrastructure wasn't in place. As much as we say today, you know, the medical system is in trouble, the mental health system is not where it should be, etc., it's a hell of a lot better than it was. And at least
to most of your friends around you, you can talk about, you know, I've been dealing with depression all my life, I'm on medication all my life, and you don't get that same reaction that you just articulated. Yeah. So let's go back to high school. Who were you in high school? What was causing you, do you think, where did the depression come from in high school? Were you not fitting in?
No, I fit in. I was all right. I was popular. I was active. I was, I dated normally and had a normal social life. Home life was not good. So school was an escape.
Right.
So you don't go to school to learn. You go to school to socialize.
Right. Get out of the house.
And get your hands on every drug imaginable.
Ah.
So escaping yourself is not possible, right? You learn this as you grow older and you grow wiser. Eventually you have to face those demons, right? And as you get older, you realize that the drug isn't a solution. The food isn't a solution. The going out, staying up all night, whatever it is, anything in excess isn't the solution, right? It's staring your demon in the face.
Right. Understanding it. What are the causes of it? How do I... It's choices, right?
Yeah.
I recognize this about myself. I can't just say, oh, that's depression, and expect the world to just go, oh, okay.
You're responsible for yourself.
Right. I have to make a choice here in how, you know, first off, I need to recognize what I'm doing. You hear a lot of talk about cognitive behavioral therapy, and that's what that is, right? Recognizing the things that you're doing and the reactions you're having.
Yeah.
And making a different choice.
That's right.
So how long did it take for you to sort of understand that component to this for yourself, that you were reacting badly to
Getting pregnant at 16 set me straight. You realize it's no longer about you. Some people don't take that mentality. They don't adopt that training. But I thought, you know, it's no longer about me. It's about this little person. And so you do the best you can. You don't know everything. You make a fuck ton of mistakes. But you learn. But what ended up happening with me and when my mental health issues kind of came about was teenage hormones, pregnancy, postpartum depression, a crash.
Oh, wow.
And so it's been hormonal for me throughout my life, and it's stress related. So the misdiagnosis and the varying medications that didn't work, the many attempts at trying to get better, there's been many. And at the end of the day, now, according to the charts, my formal diagnosis is treatment-resistant refractory major depressive disorder.
Okay, so break that down to...
So it's some sort of I'm basic resistant English. To medications, some medications, but I'm very sensitive to side effects. And it boomerangs back. Any major stressful situation, my brain shits the bed on me.
Ah.
So I'm sensitive to weather. That's always a thing. There's a lull in the winter. It's hard to get through winter.
Sensitive to weather, like in pressure systems, in seasonal affective disorder?
Both, actually.
Okay.
Both, but seasonal more. So yeah, you're right. When there's less sun.
Yeah.
I'm much happier down south. I think as many of us are.
Well, I'm about to find out. Seasonal affective disorder is something I've dealt with. I've got the happy lights, which take the edge off a little bit. But by virtue of my work, I've got my schedule, everything has to be done by 2 p.m. So that keeps me indoors till 2 p.m. Well, come 2 p.m.
Yeah.
Get a little lunch into me.
Yeah.
Suddenly there's an email. Now it's 3 p.m.
Yep.
And I got like 35, 40 minutes of sunshine left in the day. It's not enough to really feed the body. So
yeah.
You're busy in real estate. And we're going to talk about another business that you've got going on too, which ties into mental health. We're going to get to that. We're going to bring Rodney into the conversation in a bit. But you're a mom,
mm-hmm.
you're working real estate, you got the other business going on and all the things in everyday life. How do you find time to get as much sunshine as possible this time of year?
I have to put everything aside.
So again, it comes down to a choice you're making, isn't it?
Priorities. I've learned that the laundry's got to wait. The dust bunny's got to wait. The kids can be told not right now. Sometimes a shower, not a priority, right?
I didn't want to say anything, but...
Sorry, my apologies.
I'm kidding.
But and Rodney and I both, there's times where we're like, we look at each other and we're like, yeah, we're going to go fishing. then we just fuck off and we go fishing.
Because, you know, that's the neat thing. When I follow you on social media, it appears that you... Everybody says that. Well, no, but you are very outdoors inclined. And I love hearing that this is a choice you're making.
Yeah, we are.
And that Rodney, and you guys are fairly new as far as a couple are concerned. A
couple years.
Right. But you have found this in common. And so this is obviously a conscious decision. We are going to move our body. I remember going, like, one of the first conversations with my doctor, you know, he said that seems to be where all the research is headed on this. The key is we need to get the patient active again. Yeah. We need to get you moving.
Yeah.
Have you always been that person? Because I see you not rock climbing, but certainly hiking. I see you fishing. I see you biking.
Stand-up paddleboarding, gym, all kinds of stuff. Yeah, I've always been active. And yes, you always feel better when you're active, right? It is a huge component. Any doctor will tell you that, right? Yeah. That it's important to work out and eat your fucking avocados and get some sun and whatever it might be. But for me, it's also an inability to sit still. It's my anxiety that's like...
See, I'm the opposite. That's my problem. I can sit still and I do it very well.
I do too. I can be depressed and anxious at the same time.
Mm.
They go hand in hand. I can be anxious about the fact that I'm sitting and not getting things done. I can be anxious about the fact that I'm moving and I should be doing other things. So it's a bit of a push-pull scenario.
Okay.
And that's where Rodney and I have, you know, our commonalities is the inability to sit still sometimes. And so we called it drowning the noise, right? Where it's like you got to do something and get focused and stay busy on something because it keeps you from, you know, you're not focusing on the noise, but you're focusing on the noise, right? Like it's a thing. And so it's therapeutic almost, right? But it can be an avoidant thing at the same time.
When you say that, so, you know, I'm hearing the noise without hearing the noise. If I'm hearing you correctly, what you're saying is I make that noise my bitch.
Yeah.
I own it. I take control of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we have to. There's times where, like I said, we'll look at each other and say, we're going fishing. Or on a whim, we're going camping. Or, you know, whatever it might be, depending on the season. Last year, Rodney turned me into a pro snowboarder. I'm very, very good. I put everybody I know to shame for
amazing.
Sure.
Amazing.
And so, because I have trouble getting outside in the winter. That's huge for me. So last year, there was snowshoeing, took up snowboarding. You know, so I've learned a lot from Rodney's inability to sit still. Whereas me in the winter, I might have before just hermited and done nothing. Right?
So let's bring Rodney into the conversation. Hey, Rodney, sitting here awfully quiet.
Yeah, I'm just listening.
I think the natural starting point for the conversation was with Oriana, because that's, you know, that's the first person I met. Although you and I met, I guess, in a real estate office somewhere, sometime
years ago. Yeah, at a family-owned grocery store, I think on Preston. I don't remember what the name of the grocery store was in that area. And it was
another
fundraiser when I was with Keller Williams. Yeah, so I met you there.
All right.
You were famous. I wasn't. I'm famous, right?
Yeah, I will autograph things as soon as we're done here, guys. Good luck with that on eBay. But, I mean, when did depression, when did mental health first appear on the radar for you? Was it high school? Was it after?
So depression for me is actually very recent. But only recently did I realize that I lived a lifelong battle with anxiety, and insecurity was huge growing up. And you don't really know until you know, right? Like until I met Oriana, that's when I really started realizing that there was something wrong.
What was it that made that light go off? Because I can relate to that. You know, I lived this life on radio from a very young age. Mm-hmm. I was a leader in my class. I was the first one to get a job out of college. I was doing everything I wanted to do. And it was only really, you know, several years ago that depression became a thing.
Yeah.
And kind of like you're articulating now. And so when I look back and I start peeling the layers of this onion, you know, the big eye opener for me was I found a book of lyrics that I had written in high school every day in typing class. You know, I would have a crush on a different girl. So instead of doing the typing assignment, I would write a song for the girl.
Awesome.
Right. And I would see this book, right? But I would see this book laying around, you know, from move to move, whatever else, open a box. Oh, that thing again. But I read it, and, you know, my inclination was, those are lyrics, those are love songs. But when I flip through them, the reality is, holy shit, was I ever depressed in high school?
It was a diary. Yeah,
of course.
It really, really was. Yeah. So when you go back and really take a look pre-Oriana and recognizing this about yourself, I mean, what was really going on there? What were
Yeah, I don't know. It was just mostly, you know, I never knew it was abnormal. I just felt like I just wasn't an achiever or as, you know, maybe... Like, school was hard. It was hard, but I made it through, and it wasn't a big deal. Like, nobody really talked about it, but there was zero focus. I was never able to focus. I hated school, and not because I didn't want to be there. I know we all say that, but like, I couldn't do an exam. My parents must have paid someone to pass me through. There's no other explanation. I don't get it, and you know what? It's until recently.
I hear you so clearly on that.
Yeah, and
dude.
You just try to fit in anywhere you could, which gets you in trouble as well. Just not comfortable. I wasn't comfortable in my skin.
But Oriana described you as like this snowboard person, this outdoorsy person.
Yeah, and I do everything, kind of right? And people tell me that all the time. Like, you're the epitome of a jack of all trades. Like,
but were you a jock everything. In high school? I mean, was that
No,
kind of,
I wasn't.
Really?
I was a jock growing up until grade 7, I would say. And then I moved away. And I got into music. So I became a skater, and I became a punk, and I became all, like... Anywhere I could fit in, that's where I was, right? Whatever made me comfortable.
For the moment.
If it wasn't awkward for me to do, yeah, exactly. Music was huge for me because it was, not only was it an outlet, but it was also, I was able to drink while I was playing music.
Yeah.
And it would quiet the noise. They talk about drowning the noise, that was my biggest thing, right? Like, it was so loud all the time.
Mm. They call it liquid courage for a reason, right?
Liquid courage. And then that's when I, you know, the people I hung out with started smoking weed and drinking anything you could. And
so you were already subconsciously escaping. You couldn't identify it. Maybe you didn't realize at the time, but you were escaping something then.
I didn't realize that until I was about 36 years old. And I'm 39 now.
What happened at 36?
Actually, in 2015 is when it all started. I was in a motorcycle accident. So before that, I was a postman. I was a mechanic. I couldn't pass my mechanic's license forever. Like, there's no focus. There was nothing.
And he's a very, very intelligent person. So it just goes to show you there's something there that's not clicking, right?
Yeah.
But for me growing up, especially where I grew up in a very small little town, there was no mental illness, right? Like, you were either, either had Down syndrome or you were normal. Like, there was no spectrum, and there was no...
It was black and white.
You know, there wasn't... Mental health didn't exist, especially not in men. There was zero.
How many times do we hear that?
We hear
it. Still.
Yeah.
Right?
It's crazy.
Right.
Which is such bullshit, because, you know, just think of... I mean, now women go to war too, but for the longest time, the World War I's, the World War II's, the Koreas, it was men going off to war.
Be tough,
and you come back. And none of these men would want to talk about it, right? Yeah. And they would compartmentalize it. And, you know, when you look at it, it's like, well, there was no opportunity for them to talk because they had to come home and be tough. And, okay, war's done. Yeah. Flip the switch, back to work. I go, got a family to take care of.
Yeah,
a lot of small towns are like that, and well, a lot of big cities are like that too. So, what?
It's cool though, John. Like, we're talking about that, but nowadays, like, ever since I don't want to say come out with my mental illness,
come to terms,
have realized that I've been mentally ill, or have
no, issues. You recognize.
I speak to people now, buddies that I've been friends with for 15 years,
right,
and they're opening up too.
See?
Like, I'm realizing we're all effed up.
We are.
We definitely are.
There's been a couple occasions where I've hopefully helped Rodney learn to just talk and open, and it's okay, and to the point where he came out and slowly said it to somebody and became a little more comfortable, and then that person opened up, and it's like, holy fuck, you've been silently suffering for 20 years. I've been silently suffering for 20 years.
Yeah, to go back.
That's all it takes, right? It's just
one little conversation.
Crack that can open. That
mine really cracked open.
Once you get that.
Mine smashed open. So yeah, going back to 2015. So prior to that, jobs couldn't keep, school couldn't keep, dropped out of college probably 9 times. So I had to get my GED. Like, it was, and it's not because I didn't want to. I wasn't capable of doing it. It was just too loud.
Something was getting in the way.
You can't go to school drunk. You can't go to school high. You can't do it.
Right.
You just can't. So anyway, 2015 came around. Hated my job, which now that I think back, today I would love that job back. It was awesome. Being a postman was the coolest job I ever had. Music in, plug in.
Right.
Anyway, but you're alone all the time. So that's hard.
So you're alone with your thoughts.
You're always in your thoughts. And you can't drink and deliver mail either. But 2015 came around. Well, sorry.
But I'm curious about that job. Okay. And every job is different. But you think of, you know, all the things that a postperson, would encounter in their daily task. Mm-hmm. I mean, a dog coming out of nowhere. Would that be enough to make you anxious for the remainder of your day?
For me,
would
no.
that affect you?
My anxiety was never fear based. It was always
ADHD.
How can I, how that for sure? How stupid am I going to look doing this? Like, I remember being a postman, exactly. We got new uniforms and I didn't wear some stuff because I was afraid that nobody would see me with this stupid orange shirt on. You know, like, that was my anxiety. It was insane.
I get that because I've been a performer.
I'm still
like pretty that. Much all my life, yeah. right? And people think of me as, you can get on the radio, you can say and do just about anything. Mm-hmm. And by and large, I can. But, you know, like, go to a Halloween party and have to walk down a street in the Byward Market, for example, by myself. On Halloween, where everybody else is wearing a costume, I was embarrassed. Yeah. It makes no sense. No. Yeah.
People are going to throw rocks at you,
so I get that.
Right?
Yeah. A little bit of the uniform, and I don't want to wear that. People will look at me strange.
Yeah, that was huge. I have no hair left on my head because of that. I put so much gel growing up just to make sure every little piece of hair was running. Anyway, fast forward to 2015. Life changing. I was
keep
in a motorcycle
talking. My computer just went dark. I just want to make sure we're okay, but keep talking.
Yeah, she doesn't stop.
John's not stepping away from the podcast. John's listening to Rodney.
John's bored. Doesn't want to hear anyway.
So yeah, I was actually getting ready to go pass my M license the next day. So I was flying home on my
motorcycle. M is motorcycle?
That's right.
Okay.
That's when you're like, you're done. You're done all this stuff. Rod, congratulations. You made it this far. You don't pass anything, right? I was in an accident. Somebody rear-ended me. Spent some time in the hospital and then came out and my doctor prescribed me a miracle pill. Like literally elephant tranquilizing amounts of painkillers. 2015 is not that long ago.
No.
And he was good with that, right? Like a ridiculous amount of Oxycontin. And I remember taking the first one for a broken leg, right? I remember he prescribed me 220 pills a month. Don't worry about it, we'll wean you up. Anyway, all that to say, the first one I put in my mouth, my whole past was gone. All of the anxiety was gone. The desire not to want to do something. Everything was fun again. Everything was fun for the first time, I should
confidence.
Say.
Confidence.
Despite a broken
Man,
leg
I remember,
from a motorcycle accident. Wow.
I got out of there thinking I'll never go back to being a postman. So I got to do something. And I had friends in real estate, and that's when I decided to do my exam. And I passed all of my real estate exams within a year. Like, because of this limitless drug, right?
Wow.
The pain was likely probably still there.
And I've looked into doing the real estate course.
It's tough.
That's my point.
2014, and Rod would have never done it.
And you just said, I got this passion for motorcycles, but I couldn't pass the mechanics course.
Yeah.
You know, Oriana just said he's so smart at so many things. I witnessed that. I walked in today, a couple of microphone cables weren't working. There you are. I got this. I got that. I got figured out. Like you are. You're very, very, very street smart on this stuff.
You should see him use a sewing machine.
That's my thing. Anyway.
He's blushing. Don't be blushing by that. Listen, that's
great.
No,
it's all good. Hey, I've done candles. I've done bracelets.
That's miraculous to me that these things that you were so passionate about and pursuing and you struggled and you couldn't figure out why. And all of a sudden you're on this. That is a very powerful drug. And you're able to function. That's so backwards.
I remember one of the first deals I did was, and like, before you get into real estate, you know all the big wigs around town.
Sure.
And there's this specific big wig that everybody knows. And I had to do one of my first deals with him. Not against him, but, and I honestly, I think I was speaking to him like I had been in the business for 20 years.
Right.
The anxiety was gone. But anyway, all that to say, what goes up must come down, right? So 2 years for a broken leg.
Did they wean you off that stuff eventually?
I left for Costa Rica. We'll explain the story, but I went to Costa Rica to sober up on my own.
The doctor...
That's when depression happened.
Left you?
He actually left for... I remember walking his office saying, hey, doc, I need... Hey, drug dealer, I should say. I need my prescription for the next 3 months. And he's like, Rod, I got to tell you, I'm leaving for New Zealand. I'm going to go do this health
skip the country
journey. Here's a list of doctors who prescribe opiates.
How convenient. Have you seen the documentaries recently, John? They're real.
There's a lot of this, right? Mm-hmm. And I've never been big on, like, if I got a headache, I'm not big on taking an ibuprofen, or I can't do Tylenol. I have an allergy there. But that's the conversations I've had with people. Doctors seem unbelievably quick, and they're busy. Mm-hmm. They got to line up a patients. But it's really come down to, regardless of whether it's a mental health issue or something else, the solution always seems to be pull out the prescription pad, write a prescription for something.
Yeah.
Cha-ching, cha-ching, as Oriana is doing the money sign for those listening on the podcast not able to see it.
Sorry.
But that seems to be the solution, except for the fact that, God damn it, it's not.
It's not.
It's not. And I know this to be true because my doctor has been really good with me up until the pandemic when everything changed. And all I can do is get him on a phone call now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I gave up my meds and he beat me up about it. And I said, look, first off, I can't afford them.
Yeah.
I'm not in a good situation financially.
Isn't that sad?
I can't afford them. You prescribed a $480 a month medication.
Yeah. Jesus.
Early on in the pandemic, I had a listener step up. She was a pharmaceutical rep. She says, you have a valid prescription. I know that. So I'm sending you a year's worth.
Oh, man.
So that got me through. But still, it was a medication. And every day I would take this pill and I go, I don't want to do this. And I finally got to a point where I was running low on that extra supply. And I went, you know what? I don't feel happy. I don't feel sad. I don't feel anything. But seasonal affective disorder, it was spring, and I said, I think I can manage this for the summer. So this is kind of going to be an interesting winter for me. You know, how do I manage that? Because I'm not going back on those goddamn medications.
It's called emotional blunting, and meds are notorious for that. So you're not here, and you're not here, but you're not you either.
I do want to say to people listening to the podcast, you need to have an honest conversation with your doctor. I'm not saying run away from medications. Your doctor and you need to figure this out together. But what I figured out with my doctor, and I know Oriana well enough to know that you're not big on the prescriptions and the medications. You've got some experience with that too, and it's valid.
Very much
no,
so.
I get it. But for the listener, I just want to say, you know, I'm not saying throw your drugs away, run from them. I'm not saying that at all, but have a real heart to heart with your doctor. If you have concerns about medication, they work for you.
Yep.
They work for you, and say, I'm not comfortable taking these. Unlike Rodney, who was left, you know, trying to get off Oxycontin on his own, you know, it takes time to wean yourself off things. So just please have that conversation, have that heart to heart, and make the decision that you and whoever you're working with is right for you, and bring your psychologist or psychiatrist into the conversation too.
If I could chime in on that exactly.
Please.
If you are not comfortable with your doctor, get a new doctor.
Which is, you know,
you have to fight for yourself.
Done,
you have to advocate for yourself, because it's the same with a therapist. I've seen, since I was 14 years old, a bajillion therapists. I've walked out of offices and I've said, I'm sorry, we can't work together.
I want to talk about that. That is such a big thing with me. Okay, so you're a young person and you're not doing very well with your mental health, and somebody at least gets you to a doctor and they decide, okay, we're going to start some therapy for you. Who chose that therapist for you?
The first time it was actually my mom. She had begun therapy in her adulthood too. And when my parents separated, she thought it would be a good idea because I was a quote unquote a troubled teen and needed to talk to someone. And she's not wrong. I think everybody needs a therapist in their pocket. It's to have that third party sounding board to call you out on your shit and to say, like, listen, you're being a bit ridiculous, you know, like, wake up, right?
People are so scared of therapy.
It's the best thing.
Listen, I want the listener, viewer, to think of every component of your life, right? if you go to the gym and you have a trainer, you're working with a coach. If you're at work and you're trying to advance your career and learn new things, you're working with a mentor. You're working with a coach. Your kids play soccer. Your kids play baseball. Your kids play hockey. Why do you like them in there? Because they're getting coaching. They're getting life skills. Therapy is coaching.
Correct.
Don't let the word therapist, psychiatrist, psychologist, you know, scare you or freak you out. It's life coaching. And if you find the right therapist, and this is why I asked the question, who got your therapist for you? And like, have you always just gone to whatever therapist, or did you pick your own?
So there's been, it's been kind of a bit of everything. The first one was chosen for me, and I liked her because she knew my family history. I didn't have to dive into, you know, certain things. But then I moved away. I came back home, started some things. There was, again, misdiagnosis in my condition. So I would see a specialist for this. And then that wasn't, in fact, my condition. So I would see somebody else. But at some points, it came down to scrolling online, looking at a picture. Hey, they look nice. Click. And isn't that not the silliest way?
Yeah, it's not a dating app.
Right?
Yeah.
Hey, it's Tinder for shrinks.
Swipe left on the shrink.
So, but you know what, though? It worked because I adored her. And she was very different than me. And she called me out on things, and I would be like, well fuck, good. Alice, now I have to pay attention to that. Like, now I have to take responsibility for that.
That's a good thing.
And I called her my paid best friend.
Okay, well, yeah.
Right? But then I got a motorcycle, and I fired her. Because that's therapy.
What costs less?
Motorcycle.
That's the problem. That's the problem, is the cost as well. Because what? So if you have health benefits, you're covered for $500 maybe.
Depending.
You've got three sessions.
Depends on the benefits you've got.
And then what? But if you don't, you're screwed.
Yeah. There's a sliding scale. You've got a psychologist who can cost $300 an hour. Yeah. And then you've got a student who will do it for $80 an hour.
There's group therapy options. There's some online therapy options,
Kumbaya
too.
In a circle. Let's all talk about our shit together. Not for me, right?
My benefits gave me, I think it was, like I think it's like $3,000 a year.
Okay.
See, that's, for therapy. That's really good.
Which is not bad until you start realizing that, well, I'm so out of sorts right now. I'm seeing my therapist twice a week.
Yeah.
It's $250 an hour. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, $500 a week. That's $2,000 in a month.
Yeah.
$3,000 doesn't go as far as you think. But this is what I was getting at with the question about the therapist. And I'm glad to hear you both sort of say that, I was looking, you know, a combination of, you know, my doctor or whoever put me on the path. But then you knew enough that you needed to find. That was one of the biggest blessings my doctor gave me. And I talk about this on the podcast before, and I cannot say enough about it. Your pain for this, whether you're paying for it through benefits or you're paying through it through OHIP or you're paying for it out of pocket, you are hiring someone to coach you.
Correct.
And my doctor, God love him, said, I'm not going to suggest a therapist to you. I'm going to give you a website and it lists all of the therapists, psychologists and psychiatrists in Ottawa. You have a homework assignment. You're going to go home and you're going to start doing some reading up on these people. And what I want you to do, John, I want you to find a short list of 8 or 9 who kind of speak to what you think
you resonate with.
Yeah, it might be at the heart of whatever's going on with you. And, you know, you start going through that list very, very quickly. And you know, this person deals with marital trauma. Well, I'm not dealing with that in my life. So that's probably not someone who's going to. Yeah, they can look, you know, look after me in a session, whatever else, but probably not my best chance.
Yeah.
And I got it down to that short list. I made a couple of phone calls with people I felt comfortable with and instantly found a really good, like you said, paid friend.
That's right.
Who called me on my bullshit.
Yeah.
And that's what you want out of this, is someone who's not cluttered by your past, etc., sees what's right, what's wrong, sees the mistakes you're making, sees the mistakes you keep making, and points it out to you.
Yep.
And then, you know,
but you have to check, be honest. Yeah. You have to be
okay.
Honest.
Who here, let's be honest, who here has lied to their therapist?
I don't think so.
Rodney's hand did not go off. Honestly, Rodney's hand was forced up.
I told my therapist things that I shouldn't have told anybody, and I did. I don't think I ever had.
No, but you have your own view on things, right? Like, you might think, well, I didn't fuck that up, when somebody else is, well, she clearly fucked that up, right? Like, so you're spinning it, you're putting your quote-unquote truth on it. So it may not necessarily be a lie per se, but you might downplay it. You might,
What about things that you've done that you just, you're like, I don't want even my therapist judging me on this. I don't want them to know that I've done this again. So you hide that truth, even though it's something you've been working on for a long time.
So, you know what? They're not the CRA. They're not gonna come get you. They're not the devil with horns, and they're gonna send you underground.
You're right, but in the moment,
Yes, you have to have the courage, because it's for you. You are not going to get better if you can't be real with yourself first.
So, where are we today, then, respectively, Rodney and Oriana? You have met each other. Something clicked. You both have this in common. I'm sure you've got other things in common. The motorcycle is one of them. So far, from what I see, this is a really good back and forth relationship. But I also know that you both still struggle every single day with this thing.
Very much so.
So,
it's fun, though, because we get to talk about it all the time, right? Like, we can acknowledge that. Like, she'll tell me, she'll call me out on it. Like, Rod, you just built a table, you fixed an alternator outside, you built 6 candles. Like, chill. You know, like... what's wrong? There's something, because this is when you fly off the hook. This is why. And she'll know. She'll call me out.
It's a hyper focus.
We had a hard time at the beginning because she didn't know yet.
Well, I like to be busy too. So at first it was like, hey, we like to do all these things together, right? And then I'm sitting and I'm just observing this guy bounce from here to there to over here. And I'm just like, fuck, she's, you're like, making me anxious, man. Like, you're contagious. And so, but it was like when we initially met, it was... just like with you, a bonding over a depression. And it had to do with him being in a really, really bad place mentally.
Did that knowledge, when you both realized that about each other, did that just bust down some walls and say, okay, I can actually, I don't have to have that concern I'm not going to be understood here?
It was life-changing for me. I bet. Especially hiding the fact that I was an addict or recovering addict, trying to recover. Dealing with a massive depression, it wasn't until what 4 months until I told you, listen, this is the recent past.
It was a couple of months into our relationship after I'd already fallen madly in love, so there was no escape for me. Okay, this truth comes to light, and I can't abandon this person who I love so deeply.
Right,
and like he said, he went. You look at rehab centers in the city, and there's $20,000. And what Rodney brought to my attention, and I didn't realize, is so many people are sent to rehab by a judge or whomever. They don't want to be there. They don't want to quit,
right,
quote unquote. Drugs are actually brought into these centers oftentimes. So
prescription drugs or others?
Other.
Okay. Anything, probably.
Okay.
And so the smart person that he is decides he's going to go to Costa Rica and lock himself in a hotel room.
Well.
And do a medically unassisted detox.
Was he smart or...
this is what
it worked out.
There's a little bit of sarcasm.
Just didn't know if it was gonna work out.
But I mean, that's the thing that movies are made of.
I went 9 days without sleep in Costa Rica. No sleep.
What? But how? What led you there? Like, what was the conversation you had?
I had to stop. That,
it has to be Costa Rica. I have to lock myself in, because if I'm going to Costa Rica, I want to go to a beach. I want to go to an all inclusive.
I didn't get to do it. I was there during COVID as well. I didn't get to enjoy the beach one day.
Could you have not done that here?
Yeah. I don't know because as much as my prescription was gone,
too many temptations around you.
I still had access. There's access everywhere, and that's the problem with society, right?
I get it.
So I had I don't want to throw any. I wouldn't name names, but there's somebody in my circle that is a pharmacist who was actually kind of selling them. And
lovely.
When you're a drug addict,
you find ways.
You know, and for him, buy him on the street because there's fentanyl. I'm glad I never did, because I may not be here. Right?
Oxy is the designer heroin, is what it comes down to. And often people who can no longer access that, that's what they turn to, right? And it's with him and going to Costa Rica and doing that, after a few days and no sleep and then freaking the hell out, decides he's going to come home. But before he left, he says, do not let me come home. Don't let me come. I bought him his plane ticket to go. And he says, do not let me come home. And after a few days, he says, I'm ready. I'm coming home. It's out of my system. It's gone. Then you had to have a negative COVID test to get back to Canada.
Right.
Blessing in disguise, he tests positive for COVID. But...
Well, that made it easy on you, didn't it?
Well, so yes and no, because I, through WhatsApp videos daily, watched his suffering and couldn't be there for him.
Oh, God.
And that was heartbreaking.
Yeah, I bet.
And he couldn't focus and talk. He wanted to. He wasn't sleeping. He was eating. Thank God they were bringing him food to his room. But he couldn't, like he said, he couldn't go for a walk on the beach. He was stuck in a hotel room detoxing by himself.
I swear to God, it puts you through that. Your body puts you through that for a reason. Don't go back.
But that, Rodney, that's so much intestinal fortitude for you to, first off, recognize this is wrong and I need to fix this. Mm-hmm. I don't have an option here. This is my solution and I'm just going to do this.
Yeah.
I mean, where does that come from, dude?
I don't know. That was actually like, I want to stop. Like I struggle with,
and that's smoking. That's what it is. We talked about choices.
Yeah,
you have to warn.
You said I was want ready, to stop,
but I had no choice. Like okay. She was. You know what? Really, when I was like, okay, something's up. My dad had told my brother-in-law, "Is there something wrong with Rod? His eyes are constantly rolling." And that's when I knew, because I knew that was happening. My muscles were just so soft at this point, and I was taking so much to. I was chasing the dragon, right?
Yeah.
Prescription meds
are no different than street drugs. It's the same stuff.
And he hid it from me. And I didn't... There was times where he would stop breathing. And I'd be like, I think you have sleep apnea. Like, you really need to go to the doctor and find out. And his eyes would roll. And he's just like, I'm just so tired. I'm just so tired. And it wasn't until last year, till we watched documentaries on this garbage, that I realized his body was shutting down and he was dying.
Yeah.
In front of me, and I didn't know.
That's gotta be terrifying.
I remember going to Sudbury, Ontario. This is where I'm from, and driving downtown. They have a huge issue with opiates and fentanyl and street garbage. But anyway, I was driving down on Elm Street, I believe, and they've created, I don't know if it's moms or dads that have done this, but they've created a kind of a park where there's plastic pill bottles with beds in them. They're big. It's a monument, and it's for all the people that have died of opiate overdose, right?
That has to
happen. And I was like, I was just sober there not long, and it shook me, man. It was like, this is real. Like, that could have been me. I'm lucky.
So let's bring it to today.
Yeah. I'm well medicated. Now we talk about it. That causes a big impression.
You are well medicated now?
Just for my mental illness.
Okay.
I'm dealing with my anxiety now.
But these are obviously medications. You've found yourself a new doctor since?
Yes.
He is a year and a half sober.
Yeah.
In May, he celebrated his first year of sobriety.
That's awesome.
We had a little party and got stoned.
But obviously, you've made your doctor aware of, this is where I come from. This is what I went through. These are my fears. I mean, did you just go back on this medication?
My doctor was
without actually questioning it, or
my doctor was tough. Actually, he wasn't very. He was like, now I was dealing with depression because I was sobered up. I had lost my wings again. I was back to old Rod, and I was scared that I was going to dip into something again.
Right.
So I saw my doctor, and I'm like, listen, I need to speak to somebody, like maybe the Royal Ottawa, something like that.
I pushed him awesome really, people. Really hard to ask for a referral, because his doctor was telling, like I said earlier jokingly, to eat avocados and go for a walk. Yeah.
It'll help.
And he's somebody who's come off of years of a serious drug addiction. His brain was changed. There's brain damage there. Sure. A fucking avocado is not going to help you, my love. And so I pushed and I pushed and I pushed and I broke that wall down for him and that stigma where, and I say this to a lot of people, ego has no business in your mental health. Because if you're too proud,
I like that a lot,
to take a medication, what's more important to you, being happy or being right? Right? And not even necessarily right. You could be very, very wrong. So I myself too was an outpatient at the Royal for many years, and so they helped me so much. And so I said to Rodney, I'm like, push for it, get a referral, because he had a unique scenario. This wasn't just a depression because he went through something. Right away at the Royal, he within an hour of speaking to somebody, they had a combination for him, mm-hmm. where he was sleeping, he was eating, his mood lifted. Literally
at the gym, like I felt good.
Literally, and that's the Royal specializes in these unique scenarios, right? Like my family physician helped me for, let's call it 20 years of prescriptions, and I was happy with that. I'm pro and con meds. I've tried to do it on my own. I've come off, I've crashed. I've done an elimination diet. I've tried all kinds of herbal things, everything short of an exorcism I've done. And an ayahuasca that is on the to-do list. But and I've been through a lot of struggles and a lot of battles with medications, but I'm still a firm believer in that being something that can help you, whether that be long-term or short-term. With Rodney, he needed immediate help, right? He was not a functioning person. He needed immediate help. And since then has weaned himself off of much of that, right? Mm-hmm. And kudos to him. Not many people can do that. You.
Like you, right? I want to try. I think now knowing what I know, I can kind of manage life as best as I could. I don't want to take medication for the rest of my life. I may have to, and that's okay. I don't want to. So I'm at a low dose now.
But I love that you're saying, I don't want to, but I accept that I may have to. Mm-hmm. But right. I'm going to do everything in my power to try and live a life without that.
Yeah.
So here we are with these two amazing people with these stories. And I'm sure there's all kinds of other chapters that could be mm-hmm. written on this. We've only got so much time in a podcast. And we all need to be home before the sun sets because seasonal affective disorder. Let's not forget.
That's true.
The sun now sets at 4:28. So, John, you're shit out of luck.
I turned into a pumpkin at 4:29.
That's it.
But you're working together, I assume, in the same real estate office. Are you a team now, a real estate team?
Yeah, we're a team.
So, yeah, we actually met at work, which was very funny. He was the newbie at the office, the new kid that started. And I kind of looked him up on social media, kind of creeped his Instagram, and I'm like, fuck, this guy does all these cool things that I want to do, and he works in a garage and he has chickens and it was and so I'm like, he's gonna be my new best friend. This is what's happening here. Aww, in this scenario.
Amazing.
And I took a little bit, and other people saw it before we did, but the connection after a little while, a little white claw in the hot tub and a kiss and game over. So since then it's been side by side, and we work well in real estate together. We eventually made sense to partner with all the crafts and stuff that we do.
So let's talk about that, because that's where I'm going to.
Yeah.
So let's just cut to it. When we did an event together for the Royal Ottawa, it was a motorcycle ride, which has me thinking motorcycle, by the way. Mm-hmm. Thanks a lot. It's the last.
You're welcome.
I shouldn't. Anyway, but you have a clothing line now. It's called Inspired
by Trauma. Yeah.
Let's take me back to the conversation where this was born.
You take it. This one's yours.
Yeah. So that was actually a really cool thing.
It was by accident.
So I've been printing clothing and stuff for a long time, for a while, and we were talking about, what were we talking about when that happened?
We were making a motorcycle.
And oh, yes, that's right.
It was cold outside. So he's like, I'm going to grab a hoodie. And he decides to stick shit all over everything.
Make a motorcycle.
Yes. Sure. This is, again, one of our things.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. And just to be cute, I was like, we're going to start a custom motorcycle group
thing. Yeah, like this is, we're a shop. We're
Orange County Choppers.
That's
right
it.
Here
he's in, like, it's the Rod and Ori motorcycle shop, right? So it became a thing. But then he went in the house and doing his stupid thing again that he does. And he comes out and he puts this thing on his shoulder and
It was a wrench.
It said Inspired by Trauma.
It just came up. I don't know why.
And it was just, I kind of like literally hit me like a wall. I'm like, fuck, you know what? That's what we do.
Yeah.
It's what we do. We do this because there's been some kind of fucking trauma, some kind of mental illness or whatever it might be. And it's a chicken egg situation, by the way. I'll explain that in a second. But he, and I'm like, do you realize what you just, something clicked here. And then another day, randomly, he comes up with the logo. Inspired by trauma.
Right.
So it's really catchy. And we've managed between the both of us to come up with a lot of different logos and designs. And our big thing is there's donations. Part of the proceeds do go to mental health research at the Royal Ottawa. That was a big thing for us. But I didn't want to make it this thing about like, oh, I'm depressed, you're depressed, let's be depressed together.
Right.
Like, but like you said, there's an instant
bond. That's where I started with the radio station, by the way. Let's all be depressed together.
Yes.
And it's amazing when you don't want to be in that place anymore, how the world around you starts to change.
Right.
And people look at you like, but I thought we were going to hang out and be depressed all day.
No, it's the club that nobody wants a membership to.
But everybody does have one, right?
That's the
problem.
And that's free admission. Thing. Yeah, and so what it became about for us, we're like, and the ride, the motorcycle ride was huge for us because we're like, you know how many people, like I said, I fired my therapist when I bought a motorcycle. I go because it makes me happy. I go when I'm mad. I go when I want to see the sun. We go when we want ice cream.
Should you be on a motorcycle when you're mad?
Yes.
Okay.
So they say that your helmet has heard all of your stories, right? And it's true.
Wow.
You go for a ride when you need to chill. Your helmet, it's heard it all. It's heard things true. That nobody else has heard, right? So,
but it's, it's everything.
When I first met you, did you have a motorcycle then too?
So not
this
yet.
Is really a new thing for you.
Yeah, I've been riding for 2 years.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right.
But it's everything, and there's a writer you might have heard of, Brené Brown. She has a few books. Anyway, one of her things, she talks about, you know, some people believe in God or they call it the universe or whatever, and she says my grandpa calls it fishing. That's his God. He goes and that's where he's peaceful. That's where he's quiet. That's
nice.
But at the same time, fishing can be exhilarating.
Yep.
You have motorcycles, some are sport bikes.
Yep.
There's exhilaration there, right? Is that a word? Exhilaration? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And then you have your cruisers who like to cruise. So
slow and steady.
But the marriage of the joy of riding is there. Fishing, same thing. Hiking, same thing. Working out, you might prefer yoga because you want to still your mind, still your body. You might go to the gym and you might hammer out 400 pounds and growl like an animal. Because,
well, you might.
Right? And I do. Me. Hello, look at the size of me. Come on now.
I know.
And so, but what it comes down to is it makes you feel good and it's good for you. Right? You get your dopamine hit.
Yeah.
And you don't even realize you're doing it. So what we...
See, that was me. That was me in my boat.
See?
Yeah. I get it.
There. And other boaters get it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Do you see what I mean? You found your people.
And it broke my heart to have to sell that, but now I've got the RV and that's my new...
Yeah, see?
That's what quiets the noise. Yeah, we did RVs in Vegas, well, Grand Canyon stuff, for 6 days, 7 days. It was the most peaceful time of my life. It was insane.
Yeah. It was incredible. And it was you... And now we see other RVs on the road and we like want to wave. We're like... I know what you're feeling right now.
It's hilarious. How do we take the IXT logo and get that on some of the RVs, you know, with people who are, you know, identifying with, this is my escape.
That's
our goal. This is my God, as you just described.
That's it. That's the goal. It's hashtag find your people.
All right.
And wear the logo, have the convo. So when I see somebody else with an IXT logo, I know there's... something that we
By the way, they did a t-shirt up for me a while ago. It's underneath. I wasn't sure if we were wearing those today or not, but I've got it. They even put and so all the shirts you do, all the stuff you do, it's custom, right? Like you'll do custom stuff for people.
Oh,
so if motorcycles aren't your thing, that's fine. There's inspired by
trauma
stuff.
We have different categories on the website.
Okay.
There's yoga, there's weightlifting, there's stand-up paddleboarding. That's another thing that we do. There's fishing. There's
if I'm into
music.
Something that's not on there, can I make that suggestion
100%.
To you?
100%.
Right, we'll design it too. You know,
you can tell me you want the logo on the front, on the back. So on the website, we have like the majority of things that are ordered.
And the website is?
www.inspiredbytrauma.ca.
And you'll ship and
deliver.
Deliver and
welcome pickups.
Everything's custom.
Yep. And it's we're also on Facebook and on Instagram. But it's become a thing where that's what I want. People see, for instance, the cancer ribbon. You know that that person's been touched by cancer, the yellow ribbon. My thing is I wanted this new generation, and there's always going to be a new generation, but they need to identify with something. They're, people don't identify with the ribbon so much anymore, right? There's the camo ribbon for the military. There's the pink ribbon for breast cancer. For mental health, and I didn't even know, Rodney told me it's a green ribbon. Did you know it's a green ribbon?
I did not know that.
Right? And exactly, neither did I, dealing with mental health my whole life. I would like to be able to see somebody with the guitar IXT on their t-shirt and know that their therapy is music. I would like to see somebody with the stand-up paddleboard and know that when they're on the water, that's their therapy, right? And that's my people. That's my people. That's my people.
As you say this, you know what I want?
What?
I want some sort of sticker on my microphone in my studio, which is my happy place, with IXT.
You want to pass him that sticker that's right there that we made him, Rodney?
That's a little... I see it. It's about the size of a coaster. Actually, it's funny.
We have smaller ones.
Yeah. Do you have smaller ones?
Yeah.
That would be perfect.
Yeah.
And people will ask me about that. And that's my way to be able to say,
yeah,
here's where you go. Here's the information on it. What is there a tie-in component with IXT to your real estate business? Or are they sort of separate,
it's all separate
things?
It's separate, yeah, it's separate. But there is a the company we use for the printing is actually Rodney's company as well. It's King Print. And so... we use that
business.
Hey, I
got a friend request from you the other
day. Yes, you did. Yesterday,
I think.
There you go.
It's all making
sense. Rodney is King Print Media Group.
The fun part about it all is you don't need to have an outlet, right? I mean, if you just want to support, the donations alone are mean the world, right? So I think we launched, what, 3 months ago, and we've raised about $300, so $100 a month. I know it's not crazy, but we're doing this from
that's just home. From like 10% of each sale, yeah, right? Like that's like, just sure. We're also
we're not
in touch
much money
but it's a, but it's a give back and I absolutely get that. You know, part of when I launched, you know, my station, I you know, big give back component for me was to the distress center because they saved me from suicide twice. You know, I feel forever in their debt. Canada's new 988 number launches next week. That is in addition to all of these great local services like the distress center in Ottawa. It's just it's another layer upon it, which, you know, is also a sign that we're in a much better place than, you know, your high school days,
it's
than
moving,
you know, etc. But all this to say, I don't even know where I was going with this now. I'm so excited, I'm so wrapped up, and I'm an emotional mess with this. Yes, Christmas.
You were doing the lights for everybody,
so I was putting lights up, and that was my give back component. Thank you. So we're coming up on Christmas now. I know this is a home-based business. We're putting this on the air before Christmas, but people can listen to it after Christmas. If you're hearing it before Christmas, can someone get an order into you? Is there still time?
Oh my gosh, like, yeah. We can have an order done in a few days.
What would the cutoff be for Christmas?
For Christmas,
if you're in the Ottawa area.
Yeah, I would say probably by that. I'm just saying 2 weeks prior to...
So December 15th,
mid-December will be safe.
Yeah, everyone's got a
we'll
good month
happen.
Still.
We'll make it happen. If somebody puts another, we'll make it happen. We'll get friends
but
to
help.
But
it's everything from, you know, I sat on Grandpa's lap, you know, what I meant to say Santa. I sat on Santa's lap. Why Grandpa came out, I don't know. But a custom t-shirt from King Print, so to
speak. Also, you looked at me as if I'm Grandpa. What was that? Was weird.
Grandpa Santa.
Because I'm
John,
old.
John, it's all the same. It's all the same.
It's because the eyebrows have gone white.
I noticed that, actually. What? I was like, what's going on there? The silver brows. But yeah, everything from a custom Christmas t-shirt to, yes, IXT for, and it doesn't have to be for yourself. It can be because, you know, at the motorcycle ride, for example, I came across people saying, you know what, I'd like to buy a shirt because my brother committed suicide. Yeah. And my mother and I lost him. And I'd also like to buy one for my mother because, right? And so it's a spider web. There, I don't know anybody who has not been touched by this in some
and
way.
That's what I found when I was doing the Christmas light installation. Mm-hmm. Yep. I want you to do this because it's, you know, this money, this donation, I'm doing this because my brother, my cousin, my dad, my mom, whatever.
That's it. I can't tell you how many people, John, because I'm open about my struggles, have come to me in private. Many men have said, and haven't told anybody, but they've said, like, I suffer from severe anxiety. Mm-hmm. I have had people call me and say, I'm about to down a bottle of pills. I'm in the pharmacy. Yep. I've gone and jumped and sat in bed with them for hours. I have people call me on the side of the road in a panic attack, yep, saying, Oriana, come to me. And I go.
I'm the same.
I get it. It's a privilege, and it is not lost on me.
It is. It is. And I hope you haven't experienced what I've experienced, but those people that reach out, for whatever reason, you're the person they reach out
to.
That's
it.
And you take action.
Yeah.
Because you've been there.
Oh, yeah.
And you know that you...
Because it's no fucking joke.
People did that for me. Okay, so when you reach out to me and you say, I just wanted to thank you for trying. This is my last moment on Earth. And I get the police involved and we do a wellness check, or I get involved. It's not because we want to embarrass you or hurt you. It's because we've been there. I've had the police at my door. I've had the police, yep, break down my door, yep, and get to me. And is it embarrassing? Sure.
Is it necessary?
But fuck, I'm here.
That's right.
And I would rather you be here and mad at me, yeah, than gone. Yeah. And gone.
That's the thing. You have to get past, the ego's got to go.
But why is it, do you think, that, you know, because people know your story, etc., why do they come to people like us? Is it because we're just that open, because we understand?
I've always had an ability to genuinely connect with people. So for me, I don't care if you make $1 billion a year or $5 a year. We all put our pants on one leg at a fucking time.
Just so you know, I'm a little closer to the $5.
It's okay, John Solomon.
I'm working on it.
But you know what? We're all the same. We all bleed the same blood. And I'm going to talk to you about my experience. If you don't resonate with it, that's fine. Move along. Maybe one day you will, and you'll look back on it and say, well, fuck, she was right. Or, wow, I should have listened to her. Or maybe you won't, and that's fine. But the 9 people that won't listen to me, the 10th person will.
But this is where I'm so grateful. And for the listener, viewer, I want you to understand, Oriana and Rodney and I have talked about, we got to get together. We got to do this in the RV. Oriana pushed and pushed and pushed. When are you coming? When can we do this? What time will you be here? You have been so excited to share your story,
yeah,
and get it out there, which gets me excited to put it out there. And that's exactly what it is. It's that we understand it. We want to make a difference. And you may not be able to relate to my story. You may not be able to relate to Ori's story. You may not be able to relate to Rodney's story. But I promise you this, listener/viewer, you are going to hear something in every single one of these conversations that we have on this podcast that is going to register with you in some way, shape, or form.
Yes.
It's the collective of this,
yeah,
that I really hope sits with you, gets you talking, gets you asking questions, gets you thinking, gets you active again. Mm-hmm. So I want to thank you, Oriana. This has been a long time.
No, thank you.
You and I having this conversation. Rodney, thank you as well for being so open. Again, their website is inspiredbytrauma.ca.
That's right.
Yes.
I get free motorcycle lessons in the spring because, yep, I came here. This is the deal. Yes.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna participate in a couple of motorcycle rides too, again. So with fundraisers, so we'll be there. We're trying to.
I know the question I need to ask. How good are you? Because my wife's quite the salesperson. How good are you at selling my wife on the idea that I should have a motorcycle?
I will talk to Sue. We'll have it. We'll have a come to Jesus talk. Don't worry. I can do it.
Good luck.
Yeah, it's.
I'm not the right guy for that.
No, me either.
Well, it's funny because when Rodney and I met, he's like, well, shit. He's like, I just sold my motorcycle and I just started riding, right? So I'm like, well, you're gonna get back on one now because you've got me. But
I kind of cut you off there. There's a thought, okay, you're in the middle of. Go ahead and finish that. And I want to ask you the question I always ask before we end the podcast.
Yeah, I just want to tell Rodney how proud I am of him for talking about this.
Yeah, I'm proud of you too.
Because he's never said this to people.
You haven't, wow, murdered me yet, so
this is the first time he's saying this. A handful of people in his life know, and
what a blessing that you would do this with me. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
The way I see it too is
you're an easy human being to talk to, and I was like that when we met at the bike show, right? It was easy to talk to you, and so it was easy for me to say yes to this because
with all that you've been through, I started the conversation with Oriana, so we'll go to Rodney first on this. Rodney, what keeps you hopeful?
You know, you mentioned something earlier about one of your listeners finding out that you are struggling with being able to afford your medication, and she helped you with that, right?
She did.
People like that keep me hopeful. Those are the kind of people who I see more and more now that I'm in this
better world, space,
I guess.
Yep.
And I know we're heading in the right direction, so that keeps me going for sure.
Oriana, what keeps you hopeful?
That the sun will always rise. No matter how dark it gets, every day the sun rises. And I have been on my knees bawling my eyes out one day, and I know that it's going to get better. I know because when I was 15 years old and I saw no way out and it got better, I know that it always will. And as much as I can hate life in a certain moment and curse the hell out of God for why me, why me, why me, everything happens the way it's supposed to. Everything plays out the way it's supposed to. And I know it will always get better, no matter how dark it gets. But you have to help yourself. You have to advocate for yourself. I will come and take your hand and walk you to the doctor. I will come and save you on the side of the road. I will come stop you from jumping off a fucking building. But at the end of the day, you are your own responsibility. And if it takes somebody like me to drill it into your damn head that it's going to get better, I will help you. There is help, whether it's me or somebody else. It's there for you. Open your mouth.
What I heard is the common thread. People stepping up. Mm-hmm. There's always somebody there who's willing to step up
100%.
And get you over this hurdle. Mm-hmm. It's bumps in the road. It's called that because, well, it originated in an RV donated to me because I said to my listeners, my followers, I've got an idea. Mm-hmm. I want to have an RV where I can sit down, have conversations. And bumps in the road, ironic because it's an RV, but we all have the occasional bump in the road. Oriana, Rodney, thank you for being on this podcast.
Thanks, John.
Thank you for sharing that story.
Thank you. It was fun. Thank you.
For more information on the BTRV for mental health, find us online at blasttheradio.com. Click on the events tab to find out where we'll be and when. We'd love to have a conversation with you about your bumps in the road. This is the Milkman, John Milky. Move for now.